at WB.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Good. Did you have a good week off?
I did.
You probably, I don't mean like a work week off. I mean your last weekend.
Yeah, it was too short, but I got to see the kids and the grandbabies and watch a little soccer, have a little birthday party. It was good.
That's excellent. That's good. Life is good. Well, folks, we're here. Depending on where you are, we're neck deep in the Christmas season already. Before we had some people in the neighborhood like the Monday after Halloween where had Christmas stuff up, crazy. We're going to spend some time this week talking about stuff, just getting us ready for the holidays, inside, outside, some gift ideas. I think just kind of have a sort of a chill weekend as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday, and then boom, we're in full on Christmas mode. It's a great time of year. I think any time of year is a great time of year for home improvement. And we'll open up some lines this morning at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, and let you decide if it's a great time of year for home improvement. Sometimes the home improvement is fun stuff, and sometimes it's, oh my gosh, we got a problem. But we'll deal with it. Happy to help. David, good stuff going on in your world professionally?
Yeah, little bit of this, a little bit of that, and doing the handyman stuff, but kind of got into a little bit more than that in the past couple weeks. But hey, take it as it comes, right?
Do what you got to do.
Got to do it. It was really, really more of helping somebody out that didn't know what to do, so it was a water loss, and I vowed not to take a lot of that kind of stuff anymore, but I felt bad, and I said, well, maybe I better do this. So
it's the David Doval head-heart balance.
Yeah, I swear to God that God has me right where I'm supposed to be. So
yeah, that's true, and he doesn't pay as much attention to your wallet as you do. He has a plan, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being a smart aleck. I really believe it.
I do.
All right, let's so give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. Here's some stuff we can talk about this morning, I think. I want to spend a few minutes, if we could, on interior paint. Covering up stains, covering up scuff marks, just little things to kind of get you ready for the folks, family and friends to visit for the holidays. I'd like to talk about, it's a popular trend, for chalk paint. It's like chalk paint the furniture, chalk paint the door, chalk paint the pets, chalk paint your spouse if he or she is misbehaving. I don't know. But it's kind of popular, and it's actually it's cool. I don't think you would go buy Ethan Allen furniture and chalk paint it, but I think we see some really cool things where folks are buying from consignment stores and stuff, less expensive furniture and really making it look nice. We'll talk a little bit about that. I thought we could talk about some inside wiring, David. We'll probably spend certainly one of our sometime in between now and Christmas talking a little bit about wiring safety as you try to run extension cords across half an acre to get Christmas lights where you want them. And that's fine. We'll probably talk about that. But on this, I'm thinking like ceiling fan light fixture replacements, grounded outlets, doorbells, even maybe talk a little bit about charging stations and stuff like that that you can now really make integral with your receptacles. Want to talk a little bit about flooring. Ceramic flooring, vinyl flooring, replacements, repairs. You're probably not going to want to just go tearing things up between now and the Christmas holiday, but maybe there's some things that we can help you with just from a spruce it up. And then I just pulled down some things, just some headache things, like about dishwashers not draining. And then I really want to get into it just because it's me kind of, I love shopping for home improvement stuff and especially tools. And it's that time of year where there's just great deals out there. And so I thought we could spend some time, David, today on gift ideas. And you know, things from, you know, $5 to $500 to $1,000 if you want, just on getting ready, getting some ideas for gifts. And then tips of the week. I've got the entire arsenal here. I don't know how many years of it we did it, but I remembered to bring my external drive with me this trip. And so we can take a trip down memory lane if you'd like. Not there's something wrong when you trip down memory lane at the tip of the week, but what the heck. But those are all things I think we can do. What do you think? And then you probably got some emails maybe too. I don't even
know.
Yeah,
I got a couple here or there. It sounds like they've been calling in on the show, so that's good.
We had really good calls last week, as you would expect, when we had Zeke and Scott in from Charlotte Comfort Systems and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They did a great job. Lots of great calls. I mean, people really getting into it. And you got to pay attention in HVAC right now, just with some supply chain challenges and costs and things like that. So it was really good advice, as you would expect it to be. So we've got all that lined up, but we'll do whatever you would like to do home improvement wise. If you call us at 704-570-1110, when the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave returns. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We got lines open. We're ready to talk about home improvement stuff. Not to be confused with stuffing. I'm already thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that.
I know. Oh, can't wait. David, I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about just some inside prep stuff, and now it's we're in that home stretch, right? Where you've been thinking about it since probably April. And putting it off for one reason or another. But I wanted to talk a little bit about just some simple things. Like one of the notes that I had written down that we hadn't talked about in a while just was dealing with water stains. And I know you're neck deep in a kind of a water damage mitigation restoration project. But there's some simple things. You know, one of the roof flanges leaks a little bit. And you get a water stain in the ceiling on the second floor or water stain. You get it fixed. There's no serious drywall damage. You know, the integrity of the drywall is not wrecked, but you got this unsightly stain, and people paint the ceiling and it comes back, and they paint the ceiling and it comes back. And pretty soon your 9-foot ceiling is an 8-foot ceiling, but the stain is still there. What do you do?
For years, we've been using a product called Kills Upshot. And yeah. I think there's some other folks that have different products out there, but I think that was the first one to come along. Mm-hmm. The claim to fame was that the can sprays straight up, so it's easier. It's much easier to use, but it does a pretty good job of hiding the stain. Now it's certainly not perfect, but and you know what I found is if you're in a real bright environment, a lot of light coming through the windows, you probably are going to pick it up. But if you look at the ceiling closely, you'll probably pick up a whole lot of things that you wouldn't see in a little bit darker room. So
I agree. It works, on a flat ceiling and a texture ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Texture ceiling, it does really well.
It's just like things just disappear. I did have to do a couple runs of it for, and a little water spot in the investment property Chris has up in Hampstead, and it did take me, to your point, a couple times, because I had bright light coming in from the kitchen windows and bright light coming in from like a dining area, and you're right, it picked it up until about the third run, and then I was able to paint over it, no issue. So so the other point while we're talking to that, using Kills, great product. If you use the original Kills, it's pretty stinky stuff. It's got high VOCs because fundamentally it's pigmented shellac.
Right.
The challenge will be, or one of the warnings, I think, just real quick, and we'll move off of this. We don't have to drain the entire topic, but I think there are some time requirements if you're using the pigmented shellac version that you want to paint over that stuff in about 24 hours, I think, right?
Yeah, otherwise.
Not to let it sit, or it just, your paint just...
the roller slides.
Yeah, just over it. All right, let's see if we can get Jay on here. Jay, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Yes, good morning, fellas. I'm thinking about building new house.
Okay.
From the foundation all the way up to the shingles.
That's a good place to start, the foundation.
I'm just wondering about the availability of materials and the current environment that we're in. I'm talking about, you know, whole house deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Would I be able to get a hold of what I needed pretty much when I needed, or would it delay the project from
sure.
say, a year to 3 years or what, you know?
You probably could add several months right now because of things like windows, for one, yeah. especially if you're doing something that's not really a stock window. So if you're doing, you know, different sizes and finishes, you know, John, I think there's some standard vinyl windows are available, but
yeah.
I noticed even at Home Depot that they were shy on some replacement windows, which are standard, mostly standard sizes.
Yeah. Jay, here's what I would do. You're asking the question, which makes me think you're probably a planner. There's some things, like David said, windows. Like I work with some very large customers, and we're looking at a protracted lead time for windows in any serious quantities, like whole house quantities. Here's something to think about. Begin planning your home and plan it, and do as if you were going to build your house and find your contractor partners. The things that are going to give you the biggest trouble right now are appliances. Like millwork, your general products like lumber and panels, that those shortages and those issues have fundamentally been resolved once folks caught back up. Panels were the big ones because it's hard to step up production from the limited production facilities that are available, right? But all that stuff is back on track. I would consider, and I haven't done the math on this, so I'm thinking out loud, Jay, but I do know some folks that have done this. I would consider renting a storage facility. And once you decide on what you're going to do by way of light fixtures and particularly appliances, and windows are bulky, but find out as you think through what you want to do, learn the lead times from the folks that are ordering the product for you, and order them now, and then store them, because it's very difficult to get to a point in construction where something needs to happen and the product's not available, and then everything, you know, you're asking this question because you understand the domino effect, right? So that might be right. something to think about. But I think we would encourage you, just to David's point, expect it to be a longer period of time, but fundamentally the things that you need to be available are available.
So in other words, sounds like minus the windows, a fella could go ahead and get a house on up and get it at least dried in without yeah. too much delay.
Right. Yes. And that's yes. and that's the key. And those windows will hold up a lot of things. So you can't, without them, you can't do the siding. So if you really want to get it dried in and closed in, you need to have those, you need to have order those on hand, probably as you're starting to install the footing.
Right.
It's
now one other follow-up question. This overall cost of these materials, say from 6 months ago to now, mm-hmm. or from a year ago to now,
well,
has everything kind of on a downward trend? Is it plateaued, or is it going up, or what's the deal on that?
It's down from the insanity of the middle of COVID, the height of COVID, but it's still up.
Right.
I'll tell you what, if you're interested,
if it went up 400% and it's down half, it's still
exactly.
High.
Exactly. So it went up 400%. It came off, and then it's continued to rise. If you send us a note at askjohnanddave.com and click on the questions button and just say, "Hey, John, send me the index." I'll send you a link to an index that I make available to my customers, and it just shows all kinds of stuff. It shows lumber, it shows labor. I can't remember everything that's in there. It's just look, you don't want to be, you're not going to be an analyst and go through and make, you know, prognostications and all kinds of crazy stuff, but you'll at least see, it gives you like, I think a rolling 12 or whatever it is. It's good information. And yeah. if you're planning a house, it'll help you budget.
Right. Okay. I'll do that.
So, yeah. Fellas, yeah. Shoot us a note. I can't give it to you over the air because it's a hyperlink that's four blocks long, you know, but it's not four blocks long, but but we can shoot it to you in an email.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, fellas. Again, enjoy the show and appreciate the info.
Sure. Keep us posted on what you're doing. We'd love to hear more about your house.
Send us pictures.
Yeah, I'll sure do it.
Thank you, Jay. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Likewise, fellas. Take care.
I think.
I hope he does a better job than I did of taking pictures. I was going to do all of that, and I was not prepared for that at all.
Yeah, you got to be a photographer, and that's what you got to do. Because Barb and I always say, okay, we're going to start a project now, and I'm going to take some great before and after pictures. And it's like we have one before picture.
Right.
It's like it's me standing on a ladder looking like a monkey doing a math problem or something. You know, it's like, oh, well, that's really good. That's nothing's changed there, John. How's that better? Anyway, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We got lots of home improvement stuff to talk about as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. I know we're coming right up to a break, David, but I would like coming out of the break, if we could, to talk just a minute about some chalk paint and some things that I think you can do if you're getting ready for you're getting ready to have visitors for the holidays, and you got a bonus room and it's missing a dresser or something like that. You don't want to go spend thousands of dollars. There's some really cool things. You go to a consignment store, or I know a person that found some pretty amazing stuff at Goodwill. But anyway, you can get some stuff at a great price and do the chalk paint thing, and you come away with a piece of furniture that looks like it belongs there, and you didn't, you know, have to get a second mortgage to do it. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about all kinds of other things, from wiring to flooring to gift ideas. 704-570-1110. Let's just talk about what's important to you. So give us a shout. Grab a cup of coffee now. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back to talk to you about home improvement on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Folks, we've got some lines available if you'd like to talk. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Happy to hear from you. Before we dive into some wiring stuff, David, or to phone calls, as people call, I can't remember. This was a couple weeks ago. I was cruising through some of the articles or something, and I saw this stuff about chalk painting furniture. And I know Barb and the kids kind of went on a tear for a while, maybe about a year or two ago, just chalk painting everything that didn't move. Not quite, but it came off the dog pretty quick in the rain. It's that time of year. Jay just asked us, hey, I'm going to build a house. Can I get stuff? Is there going to be product available, you know, when I need it? And so now you're going into the holidays. You want to get a dresser. You want to get a headboard on a bed, or do something along those lines for a bonus room or an extra bedroom. And you don't want to spend, you know, a fortune, or wait a long, long time to get, you know, pre-supply chain challenge. That's hard to say. Pre-supply chain challenge. Furniture, you know, took a while to get anyway. So hitting the consignment stores and just places like that, you can find some nice furniture that this just had a lot of love and it's a bit beat up. I'm telling you, this chalk paint idea, I am not like the guy to talk to about imaginative solutions. Like you won't find anything regarding paint and design and decor from me on Pinterest. That's for sure. But I've seen a lot of really cool stuff, and this chalk paint deal is one. And so I just say, give it some thought. David, I think it's exactly the same as any other paint project that we would have, right? You're taking off the hardware, you're sanding it down. You know, you don't have to sand all of the original finish off of it, but you got to knock the gloss off from whatever, you know, polyurethane or varnish or shellac coating was on there,
right?
And then have at it, right? I did want to ask a question though, because I think one of the things that I didn't see and that I would have a propensity to want to do, and I don't know if I'd wreck the paint, is to put once I had it painted, because it's furniture and it's going to take, some use and abuse, I would want to put some kind of hard fit, clear hard finish over it. What can you put over, like, it's chalk paint's a latex product. Can you put any kind of clear finish over latex products?
You can, but the best finish is a waterborne finish. It dries clear and it stays clear. The oil-based finishes tend to amber a little bit, which is a code word for yellow in the industry. But I really like the waterborne products, and you can spray it if you want, but it flows really nice. And the beauty of it is you can put multiple coats on it a day. So if you want to put two or three coats on something, you can get it done in a day. And you use sanding sponges in between coats, so the real the finest grit that they make, and they're it's kind of like a Scotch-Brite, right?
Yeah,
And
exactly.
that is the easiest thing to use, especially on furniture, because if you're trying to go over it in between coats, which is what you're supposed to do, that stuff conforms to the curves and the intricate details of the furniture. So that's what I always recommend.
That is good advice. I still do, honestly, in between coats, I still use steel wool. And I don't, you got to be really careful when you're using waterborne products with
Right.
steel wool,
Yeah, you just
right?
have to make
So,
sure you get it all off, exactly.
so I think probably forget that I even said that. I think the sponge sander
They work
is the
well.
best
Well,
solution there.
I used stainless steel for a long time, and then after I started buying those sponges, I liked them. And a couple little things that you can do, if you get the bigger ones, you can wrap those around like in a magic eraser, and you have more of a block, because those tend to be a little thinner, and they're great for contouring. But if you have flat surfaces you want to go over,
Right.
that works really well.
That's a good idea. There you go. All right. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We've got lines open. We want to talk about what's important for you. David, before we get into some wiring, because we're going to come to a break now, I want to talk a little bit about some interior wiring, but let me tease a couple topics about gift ideas, because we're in season. It's Black Friday's coming up, and my advice for Black Friday is, I don't know, shop online or something. It's just crazy. I'm not getting up at 2 in the morning to stand in line anywhere. But there's just a lot of cool gift ideas out there right now. One of them that I think you should think about is a wet dry vac. If the one you love does home improvement stuff or maintains things around your house and does not have a good wet dry vac, that's a great gift. You don't have to spend a fortune. David, I like the little what is it, 4 gallon or 6 gallon one? It's a 4 gallon. There's a 4 gallon rigid one, and super handy, portable, cleaning out the car. You got to change the toilet out, suck the water out of the toilet, and not carry this monster thing around. Anyway, so that's not our official product of the week, but we'll talk about some of that stuff in a little bit. But that's the gift idea, and we'll take a few more extra minutes to talk about those things when we return. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break here, and then we'll be back to answer your home improvement questions. You can call us at 704-570-1110, or you can send us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button, and we'll talk home improvement. Grab a cup of coffee, and we'll be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're into our final segment of this hour. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. Don't panic. Another hour ahead of us. But it goes fast. Got to give us a call. David, we were talking right before the break, just some gift ideas. We'll spend a minute on that. And I'm going to like reserve the right to make our product of the week this week just gift ideas, because this is the time of year I get excited, because there's some really good deals to be had. On combo kits for tools. I mean, everybody knows that it's that time of year, right? And so they make good stuff available, and we'll talk about that. But let's jump over to a wiring topic for a second, because again, just things that happen. Everybody's scrambling. Folks are doing things prior to the holidays, and I just happened to be reading a little blurb thing on replacing a ceiling fan, or replacing a ceiling fan with a light fixture, or replacing a light fixture with a ceiling fan. And I think probably the latter is the one we would see more often, right? Where there's a ceiling fixture in place and somebody says, gee, I'd like to have a ceiling fan there.
Right.
It's not as simple as just taking the light fixture down and screwing the box for the ceiling fan up, correct?
That is correct. There has to be a rating on the box for a fan. So if it's 50 pounds or greater, and there are boxes that will carry 50 pounds, but it may not be fan ready. So you have to pay attention to that. There are boxes that you can add after the fact. I don't know if you've ever used one, John, but that they spread out inside and hit the joist. If you have access to the ceiling,
that's the best way above.
It's a little simpler. I mean, it's not simpler, but it's you can go up and brace up and add the box that you need. But in reality, this really becomes a job for an electrician. I'm not not really sure that it's for the average person to try to tackle. So. And there's cost involved in it, but if you want a fan, it's really the proper way to do it.
Yeah, and I think the point there is on going from a light fixture to a ceiling fan, before we take, so we can walk you, I guess, through the idea of the expandable, you know, box that goes over to the joists. But even there, if you're not used to dealing with that stuff, getting it seated correctly so that you don't have the fan come down to meet you in the middle of the night.
Sure. Along with some drywall and insulation.
Some drywall And so I think the most important message here is like, look, if you want to do that, great. If it's a light fixture now and you want to go ceiling fan, you need an electrician to have a look at that. You got a ceiling fan now, you want to go to light fixture, you know, no big deal. The biggest challenge you might have there is if it was a flush mount, you might have a little bit of issue with marks on the ceiling paint, depending on the size of the base of the fan compared to the light fixture that you're putting back up there. But that's super easy. And no big challenges there. The worst thing that could happen is you repaint the entire ceiling one time, which, you know, I wouldn't want to do it, but
right.
It could be done.
Right.
So, pardon me, this one is a little bit more complex, David. It was a question about my outlets are not grounded. So duplex receptacles that just have the two, you know, the prongs, the two prongs and no third prong for the outlet. Maybe before we dig in on that, Steve has teed up here. You want to grab Steve real quick?
Sure.
Okay, let's get Steve. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. I talked to you about 3 weeks ago, and we had talked about some moisture in my upstairs closets.
Mm-hmm, right. And
I've been trying to get in touch with you about following up with a visit to the house, about consulting about what the problem is, and I haven't been able to reach you.
Yeah, that's. And we had talked about that a little bit. I just have been. I was out of town, and then I'm back now. But I'm just on a big project, Steve. So okay. I've got you on my list. so you made the list.
Steve, you don't know what that means. I do.
So I will, but I will catch up with you this week, and I'll have some time soon, within the next week or so. We can set up a time and take a look, see if we can figure that out.
Fantastic! Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, bye-bye. Steve. We were talking, you know, to Jay earlier about product availability. Maybe more challenging is labor availability. I mean, you're living it in your world, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd like to be able to duplicate myself.
if you figure that out, let me know.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, and it goes beyond that. So it's even projects that I am able to go to, then trying to get some of the trades out there because they're busy and they're short-staffed and they don't have people that are coming. They're not able to hire. I mean, you know, people don't want to do what we're doing. I don't know why, but I mean, you know, if your kids are floundering a little bit, not sure, push them towards the trades.
I'm telling you what, man, for sure. It's insane. And the opportunities are huge. And I'm not sure exactly where we got off the tracks on that, but we surely did. And the opportunities are crazy, crazy good.
Yes.
Crazy good. If I was listening to a podcast this week just about a really good kid who went through and got all these freaking degrees and has over $100,000 in student loan debt. And he's not going to be in the medical profession, right, where he can have a starting income of $80,000+ a year. And so he's got all this debt. And then you talk to the gentleman who graduated high school and went and got certified as a welder and is starting out at $60,000 a year or something like that, just doing that. And I don't know, somewhere we decided that those blue collar things were somehow lesser. And as a result, we're paying the price now. So absolutely encourage people to get into the trades. And I've seen some really awesome things for the military. So, you know, Home Depot does this Path to Pro thing where they'll go, people exiting the military, they'll put them through courses to certify them for a trade. And I can't quote statistics, but my understanding is before these people finish up and actually exit the military, they're certified and they've got a job. People are like, yep, I'll take you. Yep, I'll take you. Yeah, I know you're not done yet, but I'll take you. It's a pretty great way to deal, you know, great support for our veterans, but still get people into the trade because, man alive, we really need your help out there. So if you got a gift, that's how God wired you. Get into wiring. All right. Sorry for the lecture.
It's not a lecture.
Not really. Not really.
It's public
really.
Service
just sharing
message.
Information.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sharing information. So, what do we do, David, if you can't just take a duplex receptacle out of the wall and put a new one in that has a ground plug in it, if there's no ground wire, right? What do you got to do if you want to put a grounded, like, I remember, in my parents' house in Chicago, not that well, 60s, built in the 60s, there was a whole section of the house that didn't have grounded outlets. How do you change that?
Well, you can't, if there's not a ground available, you cannot use a three hole receptacle in place of that. It's against the rules, but you can use a ground fault receptacle, but you have to mark it as ungrounded. That's the key to it.
Okay.
But you still do get some protection from it.
Okay. So at least it'll trip in an unsafe scenario. What about pulling new wires? I mean,
you can, but it's almost impossible without opening up the walls. So, yeah. You know, if you get into a situation like that, you really like, if you, let's say you were buying a house to renovate or to flip or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. you pretty much, if it's that old, chances are opening up the walls and installing the receptacles. Usually where you saw that was when there was two receptacles in a room. You know, it had a 60 amp service. You can do that, but you got to start weighing out the cost of going ahead and replacing all of taking the drywall down, replacing it. You know, at that point you can add the wiring, you can change out your plumbing, you can insulate,
do a lot of stuff.
You can draft seal, you know, you air stop, you get all that done, you put up the drywall, now you have a modern house.
Bingo.
You know, so it's energy efficient and safe.
All right. We're going to take our break. 704-570-1110. Be right back after these important messages.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
We're looking at home improvement stuff, a little bit sort of kind of like getting ready for the holidays coming up, talking about just little things you can do, want to do around the house, peeking at some blogs, and talking about what's important to you if you call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, give us a call. David, we've hit a little bit of paint, we hit a little bit of wiring. Flooring is always a big thing before the holidays. I know, pardon me, we have a rush on, you know, getting, you know, new carpet, new vinyl, LVT, whatever, ceramic, whatever the product is, trying to get everything done before the holidays. Pardon me. And, of course, we're into the Thanksgiving week here. We're already there. But there's a couple things that I was reading through. And I think we've dealt with them before. And one of them is like a cracked ceramic tile just in the middle of the floor. Nothing got dropped on it. It's just cracked. What's the problem for that? What's the problem with that typically?
Well, it could be a couple of things, but normally there's some flex in the floor. And it can be caused from a couple of different things. One being a weak spot in the floor as far as a joist moving. But a lot of times it's because there was not backer board installed underneath the tile.
So that's not something we're going to fix up before, certainly before Thanksgiving, maybe not even before Christmas. But we talk about home improvement stuff and people add granite and things like that. Sometimes that additional weight on an island or the addition of an island where there may not have been one causes some issues as well, right? So there's some, unless you're on a slab, there's probably a little bit of preliminary work to be done if you're going to add granite countertop or add an island, you know, in the middle of the floor, or if you're in the middle of a span, the span of floor joists beneath. Worth getting up underneath or having your contractor get up underneath and make sure that the floor system is going to support. It's not going to cave in, right? It's just a question of having flex.
Exactly.
What would they do? What would they do up there?
Well, I mean, and I say the easiest thing, it's not necessarily easy, but a drop girder is normally installed. I mean, you could double the joist, but almost always there's a problem with wiring or plumbing or whatever, either strapped to the bottom or going through the joist. So you basically they add a timber perpendicular to the joist underneath, but then you have to support that. So now comes footings in either some type of jacks or masonry piers would have to be installed. So it's a little bit of work.
A lot of work, actually.
Yeah, but it is.
All right, let's talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Great. How can we help?
Great. I love your show.
Thanks
for listening.
We're having the copper. Thank you. We're having the copper piping replaced in our mountain home, and they said they're going to be cutting through a fair amount of drywall.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I replace that drywall?
So you're going to patch holes?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be cutting holes. I asked if they could cut them relatively clean. I'm not sure how that will go, but I'm curious how I can patch that back in. Is that?
We can do it clean, and we can keep the dust from falling everywhere.
Yeah.
And John will be good looking and have all of his hair. So it's not all that bad. Are you going to do the repair yourself, Mike, or are you going to hire it out?
Actually going to try it myself.
I think that's
smart. Like it's going to be a couple of, yeah. So I just have no idea how to go about replacing those pieces that are cut out.
So we in a little bit of time here before a break, we can probably walk you through it. It's not hard. The trick is always having you're right to get them to cut the open and clean, but you're probably going to want to come back and just square everything up, and you just plan on having some of that work to do. But if you can get you get yourself a squared up hole, and then the trick is having something to nail or screw the drywall patch to, and it's not hard. You get a little piece of furring strip. And you cut it so that it's wide enough that you can kind of work it inside the hole. I put a screw in the middle of that little furring strip so I got something to grab onto. And you want to have a little bit of an overlap left and right of the hole, or top and bottom of the hole, depending on what the position is. And while you're holding that middle screw, you drive a screw to the left and catch the piece of wood behind the drywall on the left, and do the same thing on the right. And now you've got a little mounting furring strip to which you can screw your drywall patch. And then it's just patching the joint around that. And if you've got 12 holes, you do that 12 times.
Okay.
And the first one is not going to turn out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that sounds a lot easier than I thought.
Yeah,
it is. Go on YouTube. There's got to be some stuff out there, David.
And then I guess just real quick, first of all, if you talk to the guys that are cutting the holes, if just tell them to go ahead and cut the holes a little bigger than they think they need, and tell them to save the piece of drywall.
There you go.
That you cut out, because you can put that right back in the hole. You have to clean up the edges on the outside. But John's right. Put your strip in. I don't usually use pine. I usually use plywood because it doesn't split. I just rip a bunch of strips up. And then John was right. When you go look on YouTube, what they're going to, if it's a good video, they're going to teach you to float the patch out larger than the sides. So what that does is it'll make the patch kind of go away. Cause if you try to hump it all up in a small area, you'll see it.
Yeah.
So,
So
float it out.
Really
you can, a little bit bigger than you think, but it's pretty simple. I'll tell you one thing, you'll be an expert when you're done.
Do your first one in a not so obvious place. No, seriously. All right.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Have a great one. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, folks, we're going to take a little break. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
And we are taking your calls this morning at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. Right now, we're going to talk to Ed. Good morning, Ed. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Doing all right. I got a question about insulating the ceiling in a shed that I'm I'm conditioning the space and putting it into a studio. Do I need to install unfaced insulation in the ceiling, or can I get by with installing faced ceiling or faced insulation?
You could put faced. I mean, if you have it, if that's the case, you don't really need faced insulation up there. But if you have it and you want to put it in and to hold it up, you want to staple it.
Yeah, exactly.
I use if you can get to it afterwards. I always insulate after the fact. Just easier.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get into what you might call the attic space afterwards, so I've got to lay it in place.
Okay.
Then normally, though, in a home insulation application, you know, the ceiling doesn't have facing, and all I can get at Home Depot or Lowe's is faced insulation.
Actually, you should be able to get unfaced also, but that's okay. For what you're trying to do, you are going to actually use the unfaced. Just if you can't get to it later on, short of trying to find access and blow something in there, staple the the face into place, and you just want you make sure the face, the craft face, is facing down into the space that'll be conditioned, and you should be fine.
All right. Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Sure enough. Have a great one, David. When you say that, you know, don't really need it. Talk to that for 1 second. Face, that is.
Well,
facing in that application.
I mean, for his situation, the paper, the craft paper, will come in handy because he'll be able to pull the flaps out and staple it either to the sides of the joist or over top of the joist. But as time has gone on, they're eliminating vapor barriers, at least in our building jurisdiction. I'm thinking for the Southeast, because what happened was they were putting up vapor barriers, and I think what happened was the moisture was getting trapped in the walls, so mm-hmm. it was getting trapped between the sheathing that was being wrapped on the outside with either a house wrap or tar paper, whatever they were using, and then on the inside. Now it would still eventually it can leak out the moisture, but it takes too long. We were our own worst enemies. So we were trapping moisture in the walls. Without a vapor barrier, the moisture can tend to flow back and forth. If it needs to come back into the house, it can, and it can eventually work its way out through the house. Because, I mean, what do? We try to seal them up tight, right? You try to keep water from getting in from the outside. And a lot of the house wraps, that was their claim to fame, was that they would block moisture from the outside and they would block air, but it would allow moisture to pass through, but it's a really slow process.
Exactly.
So that's what happened with the vapor barriers. And it's been a pretty good while now. I can't remember the exact time when the code changed, but not necessarily have to put up a vapor barrier anymore.
All right, there you go.
And of course, if you're doing any attic work and you're building, I think Jay called in, he was building a new house, really would, in the attics of a new house, you really should consider foam. I can't say enough about the small investment that we had to make when we built our new home. It's a little tougher on an existing home, but man, you can still do it. And the benefits, it would be well worth it, trust me, especially with energy costs going up and who knows what they're going to do next, something crazy most likely. But if you get the opportunity and you have extra money and you're going to insulate, you might want to start thinking about foaming an attic. It's you're going to save a ton of money.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, for sure. All those things that we I shouldn't say all. Many of the things that we've talked about over the years and said, hey, you've got to be careful and think through cost of acquisition versus cost of ownership. As we anticipate, well, what do we say, 30% and 15% in year one increases in energy costs. Then it's all of a sudden some things that were like borderline will quickly become affordable things to do. I just did some math the other day. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, and I couldn't tell you how to calculate, you know, CAGR, compounded annual growth rate. But I just did some simple math. And if the trends we're on right now continue, there's all kinds of things we're going to want to invest in that'll suddenly, you know, recoup dollars at a much faster rate. Because there's some challenges right now. So it's love the prudent folks who give us calls and ask these questions. It's really good timing. Let's see, David, one of the things that I wanted to hit on while we were doing electrical, and I just forgot, there was a thing about a doorbell didn't work. How do I rewire that? And I think we would say don't, right? I mean, if
until you know for a fact that it's a bad wire, I mean, it does happen, and I've seen it happen, but most of the time it's a transformer that's bad, or the doorbell, or even the switch, the button at the door can be corroded to the point that it'll break its connection.
Let's just even say that the transformer is bad. Do you? Well, I guess replacing the transformer is not that hard. But I'm like, anymore with the wireless stuff, just go wireless, yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're after.
The distance, yeah.
Yeah, the distance and all of that. And it's certainly much simpler for someone, especially if you don't have the money to pay someone to come out and do it and you're not confident to do it yourself. You know, that's I've been to many houses that there's an extra switch or an extra button above the original doorbell, and that's what it is something's happened to the system, and they've gone to a wireless unit, and they're pretty good. So
yeah, some of them. I mean, you got the same thing. Invest a little bit of money. You don't need a second mortgage, but do get a quality scenario. Anyway, I think we would say that probably 9 out of 10 times it is that little transformer.
It is.
The challenge is, where did that get hidden?
Well, and
it's in the closet.
It's almost always
almost,
yeah, it's almost always in a closet, and it'll be a little silver thing, and you probably have seen it before and you wondered what it was, but that's the transformer for the doorbell. It's usually fairly close to where the actual the chime is in the house. So if you look at in a coat closet is a pretty normal thing, and that's just where it is, and it's pretty simple. You just need to find the breaker to turn it off. Make sure you test the wires. But I think they're only about $10 or $12 for the transformer itself. So
yeah,
it's pretty simple to change.
It's not a bad deal. Mm-hmm. Not a bad deal at all. All right. One other thing, and then we can go to like product of the week, or we can do our tips of the week. And it was, and I don't know how much time we're going to have here because we'll be right up against the break again, I guess. But we're okay, right? Yeah, sorry. My first day doing. We're up against break. In fact, I stuttered so long that we're just going to go ahead and take our.
See, that's what happens at the beach.
Oh my god!
You lose track of time.
Yeah, I'm about a quart low on caffeine. All right, we're going to take a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Feel free to give us a call at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, and we'll chat when we return. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're taking calls at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Let's talk to Greg. Good morning, Greg. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Fine. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have a question about some ceramic tile. I'm wearing some large porcelain tile on the kitchen walls. What's the best grout joint for the corner? Do I bevel both tiles at 45 degree, or just butt them up against each other with a spacer?
Yeah, just butt them and do the normal whatever joint you're going to use, whatever width, and just lay the one into the corner and leave it off of the corner a little bit. Don't push it all the way in the corner tight, and then let the other tile cover that up.
Okay.
And then of course space it so that you can put the proper size grout joint that you want in it.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Hey, real quick, if those are large format tiles, make sure that you not only put your mastic or if I don't know if you're using mastic or thin set, but do both.
Back of the tile and the wall. Butter
okay.
up the tile.
All right. Got it. Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks, bye. Greg.
I say that, John, because this water loss, we're on the we had to take some upper cabinets down, and the insurance company was not going to pay for the backsplash, which for the life of me, I can't understand that. But because, you know, the tile was put up after the countertop and the cabinets
right.
were put in. Well, we broke the countertop trying to get it out because we didn't take the backsplash out, broke the backsplash trying to get the countertop out. And then also when we took the upper cabinets down, even though we cut the caulk along the bottom edge, it still pulled on one of the tiles, but they were large format tiles, and there was no thin set on the back of the tile.
So they
just fell right off the wall. So, you know, it's when they say that and you see these videos, if you're going to do any of these projects, make sure you follow those rules, because that's the only way you're going to get a really good bond on a large format tile.
That's, I think, the first thing. Well, I shouldn't say the first thing, but it is an important point. If you go, well, the how-to stuff, I guess I'm seeing official how-to stuff from manufacturers, but it's always, what is it, over like 6 inches? Or maybe it starts at 6 inches. You put the thin set on the back as well as on the, as well as into the.
You have to. You're spending spend a lot of money. You might as well do it right. And it end up with a better job. And then real quick too, I want to correct something. Before the break, we talked about changing a transformer, and I said, you know, it's not that big of a deal to change a transformer out, and it's not. They're fairly simple. There's videos all over about it. And I said you could probably pick one up for $10 or $12. Wrong, $20 for a transformer. Now I opened up my trusty Home Depot app, and there it was, $19.99 or whatever.
Wow, yeah.
So yeah. It's been a while since I bought a transformer, but I was a little surprised that they were that much. So, not that it's going to break the bank. Still, but
it's probably not going to break the bank. It's $20 bill now instead of a $10 bill. Mm-hmm. That's
twice as much.
Right. I wasn't going to do the math. It's so early in the morning. They told me there'd be no math. let's see. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. David, the dog scratched the hardwood. This is why God invented Beanie Babies. Do I have to replace the hardwood floor?
Probably not. Unless it's a real big dog.
Mute. So what do you do? Screening or something, a rescreen. What do you call that?
You can do it if it's just a surface scratch in the finish. Yeah. Sometimes you can just touch it up. They make markers that you can use. They're furniture markers and they work fairly well. Just you need to test it in the corner somewhere before you go in the middle. But if you do that and you make a mistake, denatured alcohol will take that marker back off. It'll take the ink, or alcohol will take the ink off, and you can try another color. So that would be the first thing I would try. If you have a lot of scratches, then a pad and a recoat, or a screen and a recoat of the floor may be necessary. You still have to move all the area rugs and all the furniture out, but they're not sanding the floor, so you're not cutting the surface away. They're just taking away the top surface of the floor.
And then buffing it out. Right?
Well, kind of. You were talking about it earlier about deglossing.
Exactly.
That's essentially that's what they're doing. And they use a lot of times they'll use a screen. It's sandpaper, but it's open. Or they'll use a pad like we were talking about.
It's a circular version of the Scotch-Brite sanding piece that you were talking about, right?
Exactly.
They're just going on the yep.
And then they'll recoat. So they normally, when on a screen and a recoat or a pad and recoat, they normally put two coats. And really, if you do that every few years, you know, if you have several people living in the house or you gets a lot of wear, you'll save your floors, because the idea is not to sand them regularly, but to keep a top coat on them and keep your wear layers, so that you don't have to sand the wood, because eventually you can only sand it so many times.
So many times, right.
And then now you're down into the staples or into the fasteners, and you know you don't have a 3/4 inch floor anymore. You know, you end up with a 1/2 inch floor or 5/8, and you don't want that.
No, exactly. All right, folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We're going to take a little break here. Give us a call. We've got lines open at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk Home Depot. We'll talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
We're in the lightning round, wrapping it up. Another 2 hours gone screaming by. Hard to believe. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk. David, I kind of tickled the topic earlier. We didn't do a product of the week, and I don't really want to do a product of the week. I want to talk about gifts. Good gift ideas. When Christmas is fast on us, it's great Love it. And a couple things to think about. If you're looking for some just great gifts for somebody that's into home improvement, go check out, I call them the stackable or the modular, you know, connecting Husky and Rigid toolboxes, where you got one that's kind of like a dolly and a cart, and then other pieces stack on top of it and lock together. Chris bought a bunch of those for, you know, for the stuff he's doing, and because he's moving from point to point, but has to carry a fair amount of tools and stuff with him, and not in a, you know, a van that's equipped to do that. Super great. If you've just got a garage or limited space, or and you want to just get organized, have access to tools, and still, you know, not have them everywhere. Great, great products. Check them out. Starts at like $25, and then you can get the systems up. You know, I don't remember the top end of it, but at the end of the day, you don't need a second mortgage, and it's something, you know, you can buy something now for Christmas. You can buy another one for Father's Day, another one for Mother's Day. Whatever the details are, or whatever the timing looks like for you. So that would be my recommendation for products of the week. And then we'll talk about good Christmas gift ideas until we run up to Christmas. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. David, I didn't do a tip of the week, and I didn't know if you wanted to do an email. What do you think?
Well, I wanted to throw something out there for another gift that you could give your home. would be an automatic a water cutoff device. This comes to mind. This water loss that I'm on was a supply line popped off. It was not a braided line, but it was a plastic line with a ferrule popped off, and it ran for 12 hours.
Oh my gosh!
So think about the amount of damage that occurred. Anyway, they make a valve that you could have a plumber install, and it can detect excess water. Or I think they have electronic ones that would ping your phone that would let you know that there's a large amount of water flowing, or water's been flowing for a little while. You could stop the damage.
I think, check me out, I think they have one. It pings your phone. And you have, it has a remote cutoff.
Exactly.
Where it'll actually cut the water off at the main, right? So
you're correct, which is nice, because if you're away from home and you forgot to turn the water off, you're going to be gone for any length of time. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to have that advantage. Probably need to be able to turn the water heater off or get it to vacation as well. So make sure that you talk about it. When we tell people to turn off the water to the house, you should either turn the breaker off to your electric water heater, or put your water heater on vacation if it's natural gas or a propane, just so that it's not heating water, because it could heat the water up, and it's not likely, but it's better to turn them off or turn them down, so that they're not heating. So, you know, plus you're wasting money.
Yeah. I turn off the circulating pump. I don't cut it out. The power runs through it, so the timer continues to run, but I turn it off so it doesn't circulate, and I turn the water heater to vacation. And
right.
You know what? Used to say at the price of natural gas, did I save a ton of money? I don't know. But going into next year with gas prices up, it's worth it. It's worth doing.
Right.
So.
And I got my gas bill for the first heating month, so and I can't tell a difference. It was only $28.
Okay, good.
But there's another.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
For the foam. I mean, it's just the house is comfortable. We're, you know, it's always comfortable in there, and it's inexpensive. That's, you know, you might have to pay a little bit up front for the foam in the attic, but
it's worth it.
Man, it's worth every penny, you know, and I rest easy every time I hear the news talking about gas, natural gas is going to be up, you know, two or three times what it was last year. It doesn't concern me that much, because we're just not using that much.
Yeah. Would that everybody had that option. That's all right. We'll get them there. We'll get them there a little bit at a time, David.
Yeah.
We'll get them there a little bit at a time.
Exactly.
Any email stuff? Well, do you have email pulled up? Because if no, I've got a tip of the week.
Yeah, do the tip of the week.
This one I like. It's fixing dents in furniture. And now it's not pulling up. There it is. You've got a nice piece of furniture, and somebody drops something on it, or and it's got a little dent in it, right? And you don't want to try sanding stuff and refinishing. This says basically get a clean, wet rag, wring out the excess water, heat up your iron like a middle setting, not super hot. Place the damp rag over the dent and apply the heat from the iron to the damp rag. And what happens, the wood slowly absorbs some of the water from the rag, and it causes the wood fibers to swell up a little bit, kind of pushing the dent back out and repairing it. I say repairing it. It may or may not still be noticeable. It's certainly less noticeable. And in some cases, it completely eliminates the issue, right? Because the dent has compressed the wood fibers, swelling them back up again, allows them to take their original shape, and the dent is gone with no finishing, you know, sanding, refinishing, resurfacing, all that stuff.
Works great.
So, works great.
You could do that on hardwood floor, right?
Exactly. Yes. Anywhere that you've got wood that's going to draw in some moisture to push the ding back out, so to speak, is a win.
Yeah.
So
great. I've done it many times. It works wonderful. Let's do it. I got a quick email. Robert wrote in and said that his daughter and he wanted to blow insulation into her attic to achieve a R38 level, 12 to 14 inches. The house has vinyl soffits with small holes for ventilation. Is it okay to blow insulation over these holes, blocking the ventilation, as the house has gable vents at either end of the attic? Will the gable vents be sufficient to cool the attic? The entire roof is in the shade of large pin oaks. So the answer is no. You do not want to cover up your vents in the soffit. They need to install baffles or some type of cardboard to block the insulation from falling into the soffit and blocking off that those vents, especially on vinyl, because first of all, it's you need air intake. We always talk about that, John, right? Cool air. As hot air rises and goes out those vents, that's your intake air. So it needs to be able to pull that air in, and it will come in from the soffits, and it will make its way back to those vents, and it will keep turning it over. It not only takes out the hot air in the summer, but it also helps remove some of the moisture that builds up and the humidity in the attic. At least it turns it over. The other problem that you'll have is if you blow a bunch of insulation in your soffits and they're vented, eventually that's going to get really damp and wet. You're going to create a mold mildew problem. And on vinyl soffits, if they're not put up all that well, it'll get heavy enough that it could actually cause your soffits. Yeah, it could start sagging. And it's unsightly, and you don't want that. So don't cover up those. Don't fill the vents up with insulation. Make sure you put some type of a block so air can still flow over top, but it dams up the insulation so it can't go into the soffits.
Good advice, sir. All right, let's see. Last thing here was a dishwasher that didn't drain. And it just like dishwasher stopped, same dishwasher, and it just didn't drain anymore. And reading through, somebody put a new garbage disposal in and then connected the dishwasher to the garbage disposal, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a special spot for that. The problem is garbage disposals are made so that they can work with a dishwasher or without a dishwasher. And so there's a little knockout. There's a little metal knockout on the side of the garbage disposal inside where the connection for the dishwasher would be. And if you leave that in place and connect the dishwasher, the water pumps until it hits that little knockout, which is not knocked out. So instead of going into the garbage disposal and draining, it just kind of hangs out.
Wow.
So
great way to end it.
Got to knock it out. All right, we got to rock and roll, folks. So remember that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on this week. Be grateful, be grateful, be grateful. Life is good. God is good. We'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. with John and Dave.